This is a truth that I'm sure you already know, but may it speak to our hearts. Proverbs 14 and verse 4. I hope you have a strong stomach for the next few minutes. Proverbs 14, 4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Because we live in a fallen world, there isn't anything in this world that isn't flawed, with the exception of Christ. And when he justifies us, that is neither flawed either. But everyone has sinned and comes short of the glory of God. But how often people will not advance and they get hung up and get stagnant in many areas because they run into the flawed. I guess the title of this would be, Don't Let the Bad Keep You from the Good. A very little simple thought. Don't let the bad keep you from the good. Because we all run into the bad in many things. The bad can be an obstacle. The bad can be a failure. The bad can be your failure. The bad can be somebody else's failure. The bad can be a million different things. But this little thought, I believe that this truth is tied to Proverbs 14:4. Don't let the bad keep you from the good. Because we are all going to be confronted with the bad. So let's look at the passage of Scripture, this wise man Solomon. I doubt if he ever had to go out and plow an ox. I get a feeling that him being the son of David lived a rather protected life. But he still, as it says in another place, I went by the field of the slothful, and God did give him wisdom. But in Proverbs 14:4, he said this, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. The increase he's talking about is not stronger muscles for the ox. The increase that he is referring to, I hope you have a strong stomach, is just plain old manure. When the ox is working, there's going to be manure in his crib. So when I get to heaven, I'm going to get to him and say, where did you come up with this great inspiration? And did you know I'd be speaking on it on a Sunday night at Calvary Temple? Good old plain manure is a result of the ox working. Paul talked about manure. He said that his righteousness was as dung, or another place, as it's very filthy. In the most literal sense, the crib and the stuff the author is teaching, he's just talking about dung. If the crib is clean, it means the ox hasn't been working. And if the ox hasn't been working and plowing the soil, and if there's no labor with the ox plowing the soil, then there will be no harvest. And if there will be no harvest, there will be no food. And if there's no food, there will be no strength for the person. And if there's no food for the person, then starvation sets in. It's amazing how one thing can lead to another. But often, because people do not like to deal with the negative that you will be confronted with, they end up just not doing anything. And a clean crib is very costly. It'll cost you a lot of things. You may like a clean crib. Why are you going now? Well, just let's pray for you. Lord Jesus, touch Brian. He's not going to feel good down the road. But I just pray you touch him and give him strength and heal him. He's your child. And give him strength, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Brian, we'll be praying for you. Okay. There's a proverb that says even the lion has to defend himself from the flies. I don't care what we're talking about, there's dung associated with it. How many know a marriage can have dung in it? How many know raising kids can have poopy diapers, dung? Every relationship you're going to find dung. Every church you're going to find dung. Because where there's labor, there's going to be dung. And my favorite book on the book of Proverbs, as I've often mentioned, is Charles Bridges. And I wanted to see what he had to say about this verse. And he said, in all labor, both in the natural and the spiritual, and in husbandry, there is profit, but there's no profit without the dung. The teaching is oxen were used to till the ground to produce a crop. He said this, God doesn't give miracles to take the place of laziness. Where there is no labor, there can be no food, and there must be a good husbandry in order to be an abundant harvest. Let the ox be put to his work, and much increase will be by his strength. When he gets back, the crib is going to be dirty. I remember one time someone was cleaning the church, and they were complaining about the mess within the church. And I wasn't trying to justify sloppiness, but I said, listen, I'd rather have a mess than no mess, because no mess means no people. And it's impossible to have people without a mess. Can I hear an amen? But there will be no increase without the ox, and there will be no ox without the crib, and there will be no crib without the waste, the dung. An unemployed pastor was told by his wife, dear, she said, why won't you take this church? You've been out of the ministry, and this one has come open. It's a wonderful building. It's paid off. The parking lot is paved. It has a good income to take care of us. And the pastor replied he wasn't interested. And she said, but please tell me why. He said, because it has people. He got tired of dealing with people. And I don't care where you go, whether it be on your job, at home, or in church, or anywhere, you deal with people, you're going to find dung. I'm aware that everyone has flaws. Someone asked me a while back, said, you interested in taking another church? I said, no, it's taken me 11 years to figure out these people's problems. And it's taken them 11 years to figure out mine, or they may have figured out mine in 1 year. No, I don't want to go and have to find out everybody else's hang-ups and problems and learn how to deal with it. Don't let the bad keep you from the good. Oh, may God give us consistency in our walk with the Lord. Because God is consistent and He cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet how often we are not consistent. I want to be consistent. Sometimes I'm not. I've heard of people that will not listen to a minister because a minister fell and committed a sin. I played golf with a wonderful man. And when a certain minister fell, he said, I won't listen to him anymore. So I said to him, would you please explain that to me? I don't want to argue. He was a man of few words. But I challenged him. And I don't think I persuaded him. But let's examine such a position, because I said, did this person sin against you? Said no. But you won't have a thing, you won't listen to them anymore. Nope, I won't. And then I asked him, I said, will you be consistent? And he said, well, what do you mean? Because I said, if you're consistent, then you won't be reading the book of Psalms. Because David fell in the same area, but you will read his writings. And David did worse than this one that you're accusing who did. So are you going to be consistent? He didn't have much to say. How many know when you win an argument sometimes they just go, well, I got one of them, Because when you read the Bible, David is the author, and David not only committed adultery, but murder. I'm talking about being consistent with our convictions. I always hear a quietness and a tucking of the shoulders, and the answer is something like this, well, that's different. And my response is, well, tell me how it's different, please. And they don't have an answer. They're letting the bad keep them from the good. I'm sure that one who has fallen still has good things to say, because I don't find anywhere in Scripture that they should no longer be permitted to preach the glorious gospel. Did it hurt? Yes. But now you're letting the bad keep you from the good. It's amazing how a preacher preached against divorce until one of his children went through it, and then he no longer preached against divorce. I'm talking about consistency. Let's take the words of Jesus that we're to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. When Jesus was instructing and he picked his disciples, he knew what was in man. But isn't it amazing that even though he knew what was in man, he wasn't going to let the bad keep him from instructing them? He knew that Judas was a thief, but he didn't let the bad keep him from still ministering to Judas. He knew that Peter was going to cuss him and say he didn't know him, but he didn't let the bad keep him from the good. He knew one day Peter would preach Pentecost. And when Jesus was instructing us to do this, he knew, and yet he did not let that stop him. He was aware of the dung that would be in the crib. The disciples, my goodness, when you look at the ones that he picked, and you could see the dung, if you'll allow me to use that word in the biblical sense, the disciples were, let's look at their hang-ups and their faults. But it didn't stop the Lord from being patient with them. The disciples were often rebuked for their lack of faith, slow to believe. But he didn't give up on them. He continued to work with them. Peter even dared to tell Jesus how to do his job and not to go to the cross. Jesus didn't say, I've had it with you, Peter. That's just about enough. How could he do that? He's already taught that we have to forgive 7 times 70. Not only that, the disciples denied him. When he rose from the dead, he didn't say, yeah, you ran off and left me. I'm not going to mess with you anymore. I'm done. I'm going to find 12 more. He didn't do that. He was patient with them and continued to work with them. How many know that you're different? You've never sinned. You've never messed up. No, the Lord is patient with all of us. Thank the Lord. And even after serving the Lord and being filled with the Holy Ghost, we find dung between Paul and Barnabas. had strong contentions. And then what about the Corinthian church who had just so much carnality and wrong things in it? Don't let the bad keep you from the good. And then look at revelations of these seven churches and all the dung they had. But I would remind us that Jesus is this day still building his church. He hasn't given up on the church. And how often I've met people, and maybe you have too, they've let the bad keep them from the good. And they've seen the bad. But you know what? Don't let it keep you from the good. He will build his church. He's still washing us with his word. He's still forgiving us. He's still patiently dealing with us. But how often I've met people that have left the church because of the dung. The sermon that has been preached often that in the ark there was a lot of dung. I don't think that little window was enough to get rid of all of the dung that the animals had developed. But like one preacher said, you better grab a board and hang on because it's the only thing floating. Don't let the bad keep you from the good. But let's move from that one and now look at some other things that people can give up on. The same is true with success. Or let me use another word, because the Bible only uses the word success one time. And it's in Joshua 1:8. If you'll study the Word of God and meditate, you'll have good success. Only one time. But it uses the word faithfulness hundreds of times. But let's take a look at getting your prayers answered. How often there is, and I don't like to use the word dung, but how often there is seemingly nothing happening, which can be discouraged when it comes to prayer. But don't let the nothing happening keep you from prayer, knowing God can do it like that. And we used Elijah a few weeks ago when he said to his servant to go to the top of the mountain and tell me what you see. And the servant ran and came back as Elijah had his head between his knees and was praying. And how often I'm sure that servant felt like giving up. But Elijah kept telling him to go. And eventually he did go on the seventh time and saw a cloud the size of a man's hands. To me, all of us know what it is to feel like our prayers aren't being answered. But don't let your unanswered prayer keep you from continuing to pray to get the answered prayer. And how often people give up because their efforts seemingly seem to be fruitless. How often the enemy could come and say, you're just wasting your time. I want to say, don't give up. Keep praying. Elijah sent his servant seven times. How often I looked when Joshua instructed them to march around the walls of Jericho before victory came. Many of you want victory in a certain area of your life. You may have wanted that for years and it hadn't happened. Don't let the not happening keep you from continuing to believe and to pray for victory. Because it can happen like that. And you'll be so glad you were faithful and didn't give up. Because Joshua instructed them to march around the walls of Jericho seven times, and on the seventh day, seven times. That's a lot of hiking to not see any fruit. That's a lot of walking not to see any fruit of your labor. I wonder how big Jericho was. So I looked it up and they said the best I could find was 6 acres. It's one of the oldest cities in the world. But please notice how many times they marched. In fact, God instructed them, you're not to say one word. You're not to talk. And probably because they had talked, somebody would have said, this is ridiculous. What are we doing marching? And this is ridiculous. But they kept marching and victory came. Don't let, when you don't see anything, keep you from continuing to pray, because God is faithful. How many attempts did Edison make to invent the light bulb? What if he had quit? What if Babe Ruth said, "I'm tired of striking out, because every time I hit a home run, I strike out three times." Don't let the bad keep you from the good. Look at the man who faced the disciples who tried to quiet him. The disciples told him to hush up. Had he focused on the bad, he wouldn't have kept crying. But he looked beyond the bad, which was the disciples that said, "Hush!" And he kept crying, and the Lord heard him and answered his prayer. What about the crowd that the four men who carried the man on the stretcher? I could call the dung the obstacles to your faith. It's just things that are so there. They could have read, "Well, it must not be the will of God, because we can't seem to get to Jesus." But they didn't give up. They didn't let the crowd, who they could have taken it and gotten offended. "Can't you see we're carrying a man that's crippled and you're not crippled? How come you won't let us get through to Jesus? Is your need greater than our need?" And they could have had all kinds of reasons that you could have wanted to be a victim. But they didn't let the bad keep them from the good, or they didn't let the dung keep them from the healing. And eventually they tore the roof off. I'm sure somebody could have said, "We could get sued doing this." Well, that's probably why he did it in the year he did. What about the four leprous men who said, "Why sit we here until we die?" And with faith, they moved ahead. You see, faith doesn't let the bad keep you from the good. True faith ignores bad. True faith knows that there is a God that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. True faith perseveres. We just experienced and have witnessed a wonderful man of God go to glory, Galen Allen. Many people are aware that he had two wives, but he really had three. The first one he was married to left him and broke his heart. He was so heartbroken. He never talked about that one. She ran off. Her parents didn't want her marrying a preacher, and besides that. But he didn't let the bad keep him from the good. He continued on. He could have said, "Lord, why'd you let this happen?" Everybody faces the bad. Jesus said, "Go out and preach the gospel." And then he said that when you do, you're going to see wheat grow. But then Jesus was really good to always remind us of the potential bad. There'll be tares that can grow with the wheat. Don't let the tares stop you from continuing to plant the wheat. The devil is there. Don't let the devil stop you. Don't let the negative stop you. Don't let the Ishmaels keep you from the Isaacs. Don't let your personal failures keep from rising again. And let me close with this scripture. The Bible says, "A just man falleth down seven times." Please think with me. A just man falls down seven times, but yea, he rises again. He isn't just because on the eighth time he rose, he didn't fall again. He's just because he didn't let the bad keep him from the good. He's just because he kept getting up. He kept getting up. He kept getting up. He kept falling down, but he didn't let the falling down stop him from getting back up. So when it says a just man falls down seven times, what is to determine that he is just? It's because it's not that he finally succeeded and stood up. It's because he continued to get back up. That's what makes him just. We are not rewarded by God because we are successful. That's the world's gauge. We are rewarded because we are faithful. And there's a big difference. The world determines success by success. God determines we're successful if we're faithful. And sometimes your faithfulness doesn't seem to produce the success. But keep being faithful, because that's where the reward is. True faith doesn't surrender. True faith rises again. True faith doesn't mean you won't fall. True faith means you don't stay down. True faith is not determined by the end or the fruit. True faith is determined by the never give up attitude. When the world focuses on the end or the things in the world, true faith focuses on another world whose builder and maker is God. Do you know Abraham never did own a piece of ground? Never did own one inch of the promised land. Because as he journeyed, his eyes was on him whose builder and maker was God. Anything a Christian is called to do, he must have faith in the mix. Give and it shall be given. But how many, perhaps, will quit giving before it's given back to you? And you focus on that time when you didn't get nothing back. Don't focus on the bad to keep you from the good. Keep giving. David didn't let his failure keep him from still seeking God. Don't let the elder brother who won't attend your party keep you from attending your party. Don't let Michael Saul's daughter who criticized David from dancing before the Lord because he was bringing the ark back into town. He got home and she said, "You look like an idiot, David, out there. How glorious." And she had some verbiage that was very disrespectful. He could have stopped and said, "Well, I guess I won't dance no more if that's how you take it." But you know what he said? He didn't let some bitter, backslidden woman who was Saul's daughter, who had some of Saul's spirit, keep him. He said, "You think I have something today? You come back tomorrow and you'll see me dance even more." Don't let the bad keep you from the good. David didn't let the criticism of his wife keep him from dancing down the road. He had learned not to let the criticism of his brothers earlier keep him from continuing to seek God. So don't focus on the empty crib too much. Let me rephrase that. Don't focus on the poop in the crib too much. Focus on the prize before you. And the Bible said, "Let us run the race with patience." And where's our attention? On Him, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm done. Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that this would be just a little thought to encourage every one of us. Whether, no matter what area of life it is, the job, the home, the church, my personal life, prayer, giving, it encompasses so many areas. But don't let us let the bad keep us from the good. We have a heaven awaiting for us and a wonderful reward that you promise that you're bringing with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You could shake one another's hand, everybody.
Hey.
Yes. You know, that's true, I didn't.
Heal.
Yeah, I got healed. What sayest thou, Mr. Sherlock, Einstein?